Thanks for listening to the Gregor Show podcast. Are you looking for something unique? Lakewood has a large selection of special edition trucks by Chevrolet. Life is too short not to be special. Learn more at lakewoodchev.com.
The madness before the NHL madness officially begins tomorrow, although I know the play-in games, but they don't count as much to me. Paul Sir from the basketball show here on TSN 1260, also executive director of Basketball Alberta, former pro player, joins us. And Paul, I know you're a huge fan of college hoops, so let's kind of go through it. Everybody seems to love Kansas. You got Villanova. I want to start with Gonzaga. There's a lot of people in Edmonton that are Zag fans, strictly because of geography. What do you make of the Zags' chances this year?
I've got them picked to go to the Final Four, and I'm out of my mind for doing that. But I think this is the year they have the talent. And here to me is the key, Jason, with Gonzaga. Do they see themselves as a mid-major trying to climb into respectability with the big boys, or do they see themselves as a small school with high major talent? And to me, that is it's their picture of themselves, I think, that's going to dictate how the Zags do this year, because they really do, I think, for the first time in their school's history, and this is with as many good teams as they've had, they have big-time talent with all of the four-year guys they've had coming through their program and all the high-major transfers that they have in this year. So I think they have a legitimate shot, and they're also the second factor is they're in the weakest bracket by far. So their main competition on paper, and, of course, March Madness is wonderful because you never know who's going to beat whom, but their major competition is Arizona, who they've already beaten this season.
Paul, as a longtime Kansas Jayhawks fan, I've got to ask you about the Jayhawks. Does my heart good to see them seeded number one, but how do they stack up in terms of the top seeds, and what about their potential path to the championship?
I've got them as well, Robin, going to the Final Four. I think they have all the talent they need to accomplish that, even though they are in a very tough bracket. But Kansas's enemy has always been itself. They seem to not show up at key times. And if I'm a Jayhawk fan like you, I would be, you know, a bit nervous because of their poor performance in the opening round of the Big 12 tournament. Mm-hmm. But they have the talent. Bill Self, a very good coach, but they just have this tendency to lose to a UNI or to someone on a particular night that they just shouldn't lose to. So if Self has them ready, if the guys use that loss in the Big 12 tournament as a reminder that they're not just a shoe-in, I picked them to go to the Final Four. I think they're going to come out of a very difficult bracket.
Paul Sir joins us. You look at, like, who's your dark horse, and not like a 12 or a 13 or a 14, but maybe anyone from like a number 3 to a number 7.
Iowa State, and again, they just play a difficult style of basketball to defend, and they've beaten Kansas in Kansas, so they're one of those teams that if they are hot, and that's the whole thing with Iowa State. They have to be hot in order to be successful because they play small ball. So that would be one of the lower seeds that I would look at that could make a deep run. You know, you said 3 and on. Of course, I jump a bit to Duke, Jason, just from the standpoint of Duke probably should have been a number one seed, or at least you can make a strong case that they could have been a number one seed. But as a 2 seed, they're a team that I think that could very easily win the national championship this year if they continue playing the way they've been playing. So, they would be 2 non-number one seeds that I would look at and say these guys really could present a lot of problems for people.
Yeah, Paul, further to that, could South Carolina or Marquette give Duke trouble, or is there another stumbling block if you talk about before we get way into the bracket where you see Duke having potential hazard there?
Duke's in such a tough bracket. Mm-hmm. I mean, Robin, because, you know, they've got to come through really, really good teams. So, yeah, I could – Duke's another one of those teams that this year, because they have a blend of some experience with a very good player in Grayson Allen, but who's also a very big head case, that you just don't know on a given night what you're going to get from him. But they seem – you know, it's all about runs. It's all about peaking at the right time. And Duke seems to be peaking at the right time right now. So that's why I think they have the ability to make a deep run. But also, as March Madness too often dictates to people, they could get beat in the early rounds too. And there's many, many ways in that bracket Duke could lose.
Now, Paul, with the emergence of the three-pointer, you know, at the NBA level and it transfers down, is there a team now that, like, that's equivalent of Golden State in this tournament that is that much of a sharp-shooting team? Like, is it just Iowa State, or is there another team that you feel could that's going to rely heavily on their outside shooting to go anywhere?
Well, Duke is one. They really rely on the three ball. I think most teams are trying to shoot more threes now than they ever have. Is the number one seed, North Carolina, they're still a pretty good inside-out team. Kentucky shoots a lot of threes, but still it's the strength of their post play that I think dictates their success. Gonzaga's inside-out as well. They're very big, although they, you know, so I don't really see another Golden State team. Iowa State's the closest thing that I think that has a legitimate shot in the tournament. There's teams like Middle Tennessee State, Eastern Tennessee, Florida Gulf Coast that shoot the three ball pretty well, but their athleticism and length that complements the three-point shooting. I think to your point, though, Jason, more and more teams are going in the direction of the analytic-driven NBA and looking at layups and three-pointers as the primary source of their scoring. The problem is there still aren't that many guys in the NCAA who are 35 to 40% plus shooters on every team that they can do like the Klay Thompson and Steph Curry's and Kevin Durant's can do and just fire away. And you know, on any given night, one or two of the three is going to be hot. So one of the players can have an off night, and you're still going to be the beneficiary of scoring a lot more points on fewer shots.
Paul Sir joins us talking March Madness, which officially the tournament goes tomorrow, although unofficially you've got the play-in game still going on yesterday and tonight. Florida's ranked number fourth in their bracket, and then Florida State is number three in theirs. Which one do you like better of those two teams?
Florida State. I like them better. I just think they're a better team. I've watched Florida three times this year, and I just am not that impressed with them. I think they've got big holes in their let me put it this way, they can get beat a lot of ways. So Florida State, they're an intriguing team. I don't think they're particularly good at shooting the ball, but they're so long and athletic, and they really defend and make it difficult for anybody they're playing defensively, because they've got tremendous shot blockers. So if you're a penetrate and get to the rim type of team, you're going to have trouble with Florida State. But yeah, so if I had to pick between the two Florida teams, I'd definitely go with Florida State. But I don't know that some people would make the argument that the best of the three teams is Florida Gulf Coast. So that'll be interesting to see. The thing with the Gulf Coast team is now everybody knows about them because they surprised everybody, you know, in the recent past. So now everybody's going to be aware of them and take them seriously. So it's going to be even tougher for them this year to duplicate it. But they're legitimately a good basketball team. So three tough entries from Florida. So of the three, I probably have to give Florida State the nod. But I'm kind of pulling for Florida Gulf Coast.
Now, of course, Oregon's got a little Canadian connection. Paul, which other teams should, if people are like, you know what, I don't really follow it, but I like to follow it because it's a fun tournament, some Canadians to watch out for and their squads?
Florida State is one. They've got two Canadians on their team that are good. Oregon definitely has the best Canadians, although last weekend in the Pac-12 series in the championship game against Arizona, Boucher, who is just a tremendous story. There was a great Sports Illustrated article about him, and he's been very important to their team this year. Tore his ACL, and he's out for the playoffs. So Oregon is definitely leading the charge with the most Canadians. New Mexico State has a couple of good Canadians, but they're a mid-major. It'd be tough for them to make a deep run into it. But I think all told, 23 Canadians, I think, this year in the men's side and 27 on the girls' side.
Well, it should be awesome. Who do you have in your final four, Paul?
I'm a real risk taker, Jason. I've got the four number one seeds there. I'm a genius, you know, so what I'm going to do is just embarrass myself right out of the gate and probably lose about, you know, 8 or 10 picks in the first round tomorrow. So, but I've got the four going there, and I have Villanova winning. I just can't help, but I think Jay Wright's a tremendous coach. They've been through it already, and I just think they bring so much to the forefront that this year that I have a hard time betting against them.
Well, that's fair. The number one's going with the favorite. Sure, we'll see. They definitely have a better chance than going with the 416s. We'll say that. That's for sure.
Well, thank you. When you compare it to that, I guess I'm making a safe choice.
Appreciate your time, Paul.
Thanks, Jason.